we host short-term mission teams, and so groups come from different states and different places to come and help us do outreach within the community. And some of that is service work by helping and cleaning and painting or whatever that case may be. But a lot of it is really just really building relationships and getting to know the kids. Say tomorrow and Tuesday, this group will be helping me in some of the apartment complexes that we've been dealing with, working with some of our refugee children and helping with the kids and just ministering and working with them and touching lives there. This group is about, we got 65, Pastor, or how many are here?
64 total
with this group, and I'm excited because this is the eighth year this particular group has joined me, eighth year in a row, and so that's really cool as they keep, I'm humbled that they keep coming back, and we try to do what we can to change it up every time so it's not, you know, the same thing in reference to service. And so opportunity to share a little bit about who we are, our ministry, our heart and goal, at the same time to hear from them. And yesterday I had that opportunity to hear a little bit from each one of the students in our sessions to find out what their heart's desire, what fills their tank, what makes them happy, and what drains them. You know, that's something we've talked in the past about. What is it that makes us feel like, man, I feel like 100%, I feel like gold. And then other days, what drains me, I feel like I'm at the end of my rope. And so, you know, that's something that we all deal with. And so we had that chance yesterday to get to know the kids in that manner. They did an awesome job to help me serve the ministry called For the Solution up in the Ogden area. And this is who I partnered with to do the school assemblies that we've been doing. And so Roger and his wife have done a great job in that aspect of ministry. And then we went to help a pastor here in town who's moving to Seattle, and their ministry and what they've done to reach the refugees. It's actually, and our students, you guys don't know this, but 17 years ago, my wife and I, we've known Grantley and Tamina, the pastors we helped. We've known them for all the 21, 22 years we've been here. But about 17 years ago, heard from Tamina this kind of passion and desire to want to help these new refugee families that are coming in, being that she was one, and said, we need to help these families. How can we help them in the name of the Lord? And so that's what really drew my wife and I to do something. Now, for those of you that haven't met my family, all of you kids here, my wife and my daughters and my son Isaiah, Gianna, Jackie, and Isaiah, and my wife Anna are over here. So, okay, they're over here. And so they'll sign autographs later. So you guys, you know, just, okay. From there, we just want to, you know, just we say, okay, God, what do you have for us? And we didn't understand this refugee world way back in the day. And God had us to leave the ministry of youth that we were targeting in the Sandy Midvale area to go into the Glendale area and to that west side strip of Salt Lake and see what we can do to reach out to the kids there. And throughout all these years, we've been targeting and focusing and seeing how we can continually reach out to the kids. And this is what we're going to be doing this week as well. Today being Sunday, our service I mentioned to our students here, our service is what we're doing now. It's serving the Lord through worship. And let's give our worship team a big hand. They did an awesome job. And so, girls, you guys did great. And so they'll be selling CDs in the back, okay? And they'll be in line signing autographs next to my family there, okay? So they're awesome group. And again, we have a number of families that are out, you know, today. So this worked, right, to kind of, if last week we had a good crowd. Last week was a really good crowd here. Families were all kind of here at that time. And then this week we just knew it was perfect timing. So you guys filling these spots in, I know you guys are like got the rough spot right here. So you guys just hang in there. I'm only going to go 3 hours. Okay, so we're gonna be fine. Hey, I want to pray. And then we're going to get right into God's Word. And then we're going to be treated because some of our students from the team here are at the end here are going to come up and share worship with us again. Okay, so they're going to play. And so some of your students, most of our students here are middle school. This trip is designed for our middle school group. And this is Pastor Colin over here. And so he is the youth pastor with all of his leaders. All the leaders, stand up. Every pastor, you too as well. Come on, so we can see who our leaders are. Let's give them a hand hanging out with a bunch of middle school kids. All right? Thank you. May be seated. And so they're doing an awesome job out there in Colorado Springs, and it's a very large ministry. God has blessed them. And it's not just that the church is big as far as people coming to church, but they do so much in the community. they do a lot to reach out into their world and where they're at. And so we're, again, just humbled that they're able to come and be with us. So, God, we thank you that we could, Lord, just fellowship together. Our service today is just loving on you and loving on each other. And, God, we pray that you help us to understand your words. Help us, God, as we dive in, Lord, just to your word. But, God, what are you saying? What are you saying to my heart today? What are you saying to me? Help me, God, that I could be a better person for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week, we started kind of a new series called a Freedom Series, and we emphasized where Paul spoke about one of the rarest times you'll ever hear anything like this. He actually was coming against Moses. Okay, I don't know if some of you guys have ever known that, because we always thought and looked at Moses as this great hero of the Bible. He would listen to God. He spoke to a burning bush. God did signs, miracles, and wonders through him. He took him through the desert. Okay, he didn't cross into the promised land, but yet he was one that dealt with the people all the way through. And then he had this encounter with God, and he got the Ten Commandments. And we know that story. But Paul, the apostle, he wrote and he said, don't be like Moses. You see, there was one thing Moses did. Moses, when he was on top of the mountain, he just got so impacted by God that God's glory just radiated through him. So when he came down the mountain after some time, they all wondered where he went, what took so long. But when he came down the mountain, his face was literally glowing. They were like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, some people, you could see that with teeth, right? Everybody kind of look at your neighbor's teeth, and you could, some people got teeth that are just like, whoa, man, those are bright. You're using Clorox or something, you know, that you're using bleach on those, because those, I mean, think about it. But for your full skin and body to be glowing, the people down at the bottom of the hill, they couldn't handle that. And they said, Moses, we can't even talk to you. We can't even look at you. Moses, please, this is where the problem came, please cover your face. And Moses trying to do his best. But this is where we realize, okay, he wasn't a superhero. He was, I would say, a superhuman. He was human. And he made an error. The error was this. He took the glory of God that was shining through him, and he covered it up. He covered it up. And this is where Paul says, don't be like Moses, who will put a veil over the glory of God. In other words, hide it. In some scenarios, it could even mean to be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed and don't be afraid of what God is doing in your life, so that you water it down or you lightly cover it. And Paul came against them and says, don't be like Moses. Now, he wasn't slamming Moses completely. He would just say, in this one situation, don't be like Moses. That's a crazy thought. We were talking about freedom, because we said freedom is when you're able to see God with an open face. You're able to see God without a veil in front of you. Today, I want to get into some very familiar passages of Scripture. We're going to talk about this. We're talking about freedom. We're talking about freedom, and as I looked at this, it kind of goes along with what we're dealing with today in our world. There's a lot of stuff that happened. A lot of horrible things took place in our states, in the United States, this week, from different shootings happening all different places to the horrible thing that happened in Dallas with our police officers, where people are making judgment calls and taking it upon themselves to hurt other people. Okay, I want you to think about this. Listen to the word I just said, judgment calls. They're making a judgment call. How far is too far? What is my responsibility? What am I supposed to do? So let's look into Scripture here and see what the Lord himself says. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. I believe many have probably heard this at one time or another, because you probably said this at one time or another. Here we go. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Let me stop right there. Verses 1 through 5. Do not judge or you will be judged. You see, those are very popular verses right now amongst those that don't even believe in God. Because when we make a decision and to share to someone, when we see that they're doing something wrong, we say, hey, you shouldn't do that. And they get all offended and they say, well, the Bible says you shouldn't judge. It's funny how those that don't even believe in God will use God's words and use it in a little bit of a twist. They don't fully understand what this is saying. We're going to dive into this. Don't judge is what it says. Do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. So does that mean completely that we are to just then become totally quiet? We read in the Old Testament that it's very clear that God is the judge. And there's multiple scriptures that talk about how the Lord will judge and God is the judge. God is the creator of the world. It's His world. He will judge. He knows right from wrong. And then we come to the place where Jesus says that God has surrendered and gave all authority to Him. He has the ability. He has that responsibility. He is the one that now has the authority to judge. Now it's Jesus that's saying here, telling us, do not judge. That could sound a little confusing, okay? What am I supposed to do then? You see, when you make a judgment call, when you go, am I doing right? Am I doing wrong? There's a fine line. Sometimes we cross it. Sometimes we mess up. Anybody ever messed up? Remember Roger asked that question, has anybody ever messed up? And how about, has anybody messed up again fixing your mess up? Okay, we them all hands, you know, everyone, we all messed up so many times. And those are mess ups we'll call our bad judgment calls. So we can't breathe without the idea of a judging. We're judging right from wrong. It was Paul that wrote in Romans in chapter 7, and he says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. Who can save me from this? Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who were in Christ Jesus. Remember last week we said it was only through Jesus that can take the veil away. If there is a veil in front of us, the only way we could be set free is through Jesus. Here, Paul is saying the very same thing. Look, we're going to make wrong decisions all the time. But the only one that can save us from this is Jesus. He keeps pointing back to Jesus. Now, what does this mean? Do not judge. Because clearly when something goes wrong in front of us, we're quick to say, hey, don't do that. Especially when it comes to little kids. No. Why do we do that? Why do we go, no? Why don't we just say no? Shouldn't they just listen on the first no? It doesn't work. So we think, oh, it's going to be more powerful if we say two no's. No. But that don't work. So we got to go what? No. We just keep on going and hopefully maybe on the 15th no, they'll get it. And they don't. Listen to this. Do not judge. Here it says clearly that if you judge someone, with whatever measure you're judging them, it's going to come back to you. Throughout all different religions and cultures throughout the world, this is a symbol, or this is a system of belief that whatever you do to someone, it's going to come back to you. How you treat other people is how they're going to end up treating you. How you do this, in other places it talks about whatever you plant a seed, that's what's going to come back to you. People refer to another culture saying yin and yang and all these different things. But think about what Jesus is saying. Whatever you do to someone, it's going to come back to you. How you treat them, it's going to come back to you. I remember there was these two sisters, and there was this oldest one. She came to me, and she says, Pastor Alfred, I'm having trouble with my sister. I'm having trouble with my sister. I go, what's going on? She just wears my clothes, and she just wants to be with my friends, and she wants to hang out, and I just want to be by myself, and I want to be able to do my own thing, and she just always wants to come around, and she goes in my room, and she doesn't ask, and she does all this. And so I said to her, I said, look, you're number one, right? And she goes, what do you mean? You're the oldest. I said, yeah, no one could argue that. You're the oldest. Why don't you do something? Because that younger one is trying to, always competitive, trying to beat her or be better than her in so many different ways. Why don't you do something? Why don't you make it? I said, why don't you make a judgment call and judge it this way? Why don't you serve your sister? Serve her. She goes, what do you mean, serve her? She don't deserve any. No way. I'm not going to serve her. She's a brat. She's this. She's that. I go, why don't you serve her? And when you serve her, she is going to be shocked at first. And then she's going to realize, okay, you did something nice to me. I'll do something nicer for you. And next thing you know, it's going to turn. Because if you do something mean, she's going to do something mean. If you do something nice, she'll come back with something nice. She goes, that, no way. She's a brat. It's not going to work whatsoever. 6 months later, I saw her again. Her and her husband are pastors now in the area here. And I asked her, I said, so, how's it going with your sis? She goes, you were right. I go, what are you talking about? We're really close now. Oh, what did you decide to do? I decided to help her. I decided to, are you familiar? We've talked about five love languages. I decided to serve her and give her good words. I decided to give her positive affirmation, you know, touch, not, you know, not hit her, but high five or, hey, great job or whatever it may be. And the next thing you know, it turned. She then started being nice to me. I said, isn't that funny how that works? How what Jesus says is really true. That whatever you give out is going to come back to you. Whatever you do. Now, how does this work? You see, I could be free from my addictions. We talked about that last week, the veils of that are in front of us. I could be free from my addiction. But how about free from myself? What do I mean by that? Sometimes we become our worst enemy. We beat ourselves up. We put ourselves down. We make ourselves. No one has to say anything bad to me. I could make myself feel bad because I think ways and I do things to myself. I want you to think about this. It says, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Verse 3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? There's something small that's bugging you about your friend or your brother. Why are you bringing attention to that? And the Bible says, when you've got a big plank, a plank is like a big piece of wood that's in your own eye. Well, let's put it this way so we can probably understand it easier. Why are you telling your friend to, oh, you got something right here, when your whole face is dirty? What business do you have telling your friend there's a speck of dirt right here when your whole face is completely dirty? It says, listen to this right here. This is where the key is. It says, how can you say to your brother, let me take of the speck out of your eye, when all the time there was a plank in your own eye? Listen to this, verse 5. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck of your brother's eye. Verse 5 is the key of freedom right here. It is. It really is. Because you see, every time we do something in judging, the Lord said hypocrite. One thing in working with so many youth throughout the years, I've come to find out that the number one thing teenagers today hate the most are hypocrites. And above that, being one. So everybody, hey, I'm just going to be me. I'm going to do whatever. And we see a bunch of youth and teenagers right now, some on fire for God and they're for real. And others like, I don't want nothing to do with it because I don't want to be around those hypocrites. And here the Lord said, this is what a hypocrite is. When you start putting everybody else down and yet there's things going on in your own life. What is the key? You see, I could be free from my addiction. It says, yeah, I'm free. But as soon as I start judging someone, I just put myself in condemnation. If I just started putting down people, I just put myself as a hypocrite because there's something wrong with me too. Does that mean I'm not supposed to help somebody? No. Look at verse 5 again. How do we help people? It says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye. Stop right there. For me not to be a hypocrite, I know that word is that. Who could tell me? Someone help me here. What is a hypocrite? Yes. Okay. Did you hear that? You're telling someone, hey, don't do that, but then you end up doing it yourself. My dear friend back over here, we were in line yesterday at the restaurant, and I was going on and on telling him about the macaroni salad. I said, you need to eat the mac, and he was ready to eat the green salad, the tossed salad. I said, no, you need to go after the macaroni salad. And so he goes right there, and he makes a big deal, because even the lady serving, she had this T-shirt that says the best macaroni in the world or whatever. And he goes, okay, he goes, because of your shirt says the best mac, and because he said to order the macaroni salad, I want the macaroni salad. And she goes, okay. She puts a scoop on there. And then it comes to my turn, and she goes, what would you like? I go, I'll take the tossed salad. You know, and so, and he was like, what? What are you telling her? I was joking, but I would have been a hypocrite if I would have taken the green salad after telling him, oh, you don't want that. You want this. That would have been a hypocrite of me. The Lord here said, look, don't bother with all these people and all their issues with going on in their life if there's stuff going on in your life. Listen to me, please, because does that mean then we're not to say anything ever at all? Remember some time ago we talked here in the church about Micah 6:8? Micah's asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want from me? And he says, there's three things that I want from you. One, I want you to act justly. What does that mean? That means when you see injustice being done, when you see something contrary to the Word of God, when you see something that's not right, you have an obligation to do something about it. You just don't turn your back and say, I'm out of here. It says to love mercy, be willing to forgive, and be willing to reach out. And it also says to walk with your God humbly. So God has never changed. The Lord is the same. So is he telling us not to say anything to anyone whatsoever? No, he's saying to do it the right way. You and I, as Christian people that love God, our job is to make sure that others have the understanding of who God is too. So when we share the good news, they clearly understand who is the Lord. And here, the Lord is not saying to us, don't judge. You see, when the world quotes that scripture back to us, well, what are you judging me for, you hypocrite? No. They don't understand. The Lord wants you and I to help people understand His love, His mercy, His grace. How do we do that? We first look at ourselves. When you look at yourself, and before you're going to go on this rampage of saving the world, Lord, I need to make sure I'm right with you. God, I need to make sure my heart today's the day of salvation. Today, I give you my life, God, and today, before I go out and try to help anyone else, I got to make sure I'm right with you. We talked about this. When you're in an airplane and the stewardess says, when the oxygen mask drops, please put it on yourself before you put it on your child or your elderly person or a person with a disability, whoever you're taking care of. Don't, because your heart is, oh, those poor people, and you want to go help those poor people, and then if you run out of oxygen, so will they, because they're counting on you. So what does that mean? To be free in the Lord without hypocritical mindset, without any judgment coming back to me because I threw judgment out there. How can I be free of myself? By making sure every day I'm right with God. Every day I check myself, because we, as Christians that have been saved for some time, we walk into this walk with God in this mentality that we think, I know the stories, I know the scripture, I know the songs, I know the routine, I know the church, and we forgot, what did it say, Micah 6:8? What was that last part? It said, and to walk with your God humbly. I got to walk with God humbly every day getting up and saying, God, you're God, I'm not. Every day, God, I trust you. every day, God. And so if I go throughout my day that I don't have speck in my eye, I don't have a plank in my eye, but if I see something going wrong, according to the Word of God, in love, I'm not coming to condemn you. I'm coming to help you understand the truth. John 3:17 says, God did not send His Son, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that who would ever believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, He did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world would be saved. Through Him. What does that mean? That means helping people understand there is a right and wrong. There is, according to the Word of God, there's right and wrong. Do we come down and saying, you sinner, you whatever, whatever person? No. You see, what's happening in our world today is that we have people making bad judgment calls. They're taking it upon themselves to say, okay, God, get out of the way. I'll take care of business. Get out of the way, God. I'm going to do this. Whether it is the possibility of an officer that made a bad judgment call or someone in the community, obviously, that's making a bad judgment call. They're basically saying, God, step out of the way. I'm in control. I'm going to control this issue. I'm going to be the one to make this judgment. How do we become free? Because it's easy through social media. It's easy while watching the news. It's easy by hearing in conversation. Us immediately say, those people did this, and those people over here, and those people over there. And the next thing you know, we're judging everybody. We don't even know them. We already have a stereotype of this person or that person or this person. It was brought out, social media, for this area, on alert. Police officers are on alert. The possibility of getting shot at here in Utah. Why? Well, what could we do? What's our job in the world that's chaotic right now? Start judging everybody? No, but helping everybody. How do we help them? By first helping ourselves. I entitled this message, Me First. I know it sounds selfish, doesn't it? Me First. But in this scenario, it has to be, God, deal with me first. Help me first. If there's sin in my life, God, forgive me first before I go start looking at sin in everyone else's. Before I start judging anybody, God, I don't want to judge them to condemn them, but I want to see if they're doing something wrong. God, help me to help them be free, that they could be free in You, Lord. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to be able to know that I'm walking with God day by day. I'm walking with God with everything I've got. Pure hands, pure heart, pure vocabulary. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. God, I want, where am I? Am I going to be perfect? No, my friend. We strive for perfection, but on this earth, we'll never be perfect. We're going to make mistakes. There will be times of bad judgment call. But if we daily dive into God's Word, if we daily speak with Him, if we daily just get into His presence, even for a moment, even if you spend just a couple seconds in His presence, you see, with God, there's no time. Just taking yet time to just close your eyes or get alone and say, okay, God, it's me and You. Folks from the church here, one of the beautiful sights of yesterday with this group is that we took them to the state capitol, and we had a moment to just ask them, please pray over our state and pray over our city. Guys, even if you just did that and joined us in church and left, you've done more than you could have imagined ever by pulling weeds or picking up trash or doing anything like that. You're part of taking a moment and sitting. It was a cool sight just to look around and see all these kids on the Capitol stairs there just praying. That in itself is priceless, because we're touching base with God. The fact that we're even bowing our head says, God, You're God, I'm not. I just want to do the right thing. And I want to help my friends around me to do the right thing. By putting them down and making me think bigger than them? No. By being an example to them. But they could see me and they say, Alfred, I don't know what it is, man, but whatever you got, I want. Whoever you are, man, I want to be like that. I had a conversation with a friend of mine. He so desperately wants to be a minister by way of reaching some people. And I asked him, how's your family? He goes, oh, we got some things going on. I said, you got to take care of that first. You got to take care of your own children and your spouse and your issues. Take care of you first and then be able to. The Bible's very clear about that. That we needed to focus on what He has given us. That we be responsible for the little things that He's given us. We may be a small this or a small that, but as we're faithful to, God is going to bless us with more. Because He'll see that, man, you really do. You're not condemning, you're not judging, you're not putting down. You're actually sharing with them and showing them what is right and wrong. You see, the reason Jesus says, I didn't come to judge, even though He had all the authority, He says, I didn't come to judge because, He says, just by what I'm saying, if people choose not to accept this, they judge themselves. There will be a time, the Lord says, in the last days, He will actually be the judge. And we will all stand before Him, and we will all bow our knee to Him, and we'll all acknowledge that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But right now, He wants you and I to express His love to people, not judgment. How do I love someone where they're doing wrong? The Bible says, don't ignore an evil person. Approach them. Deal with them. Remember we talked yesterday, group? We talked about Psalms 23, verse 5, that the Lord prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemy. He anoints my head with oil, and my cup overflows. God wants us to face whatever issue we're dealing with head on. To fight against them? No. That the anointing of God, that God Himself, overflow from us and deal with everything we're dealing with in our life. Let's think about this personally now. I said we got to take care of home first. Are there issues going on at your home right now? Is there issues in your own life right now? Are there things happening within your own household right now? How do we deal with that? We give it to the Lord first. So let's do that right now. In a moment, the worship team is going to come up, but I want to take a moment of prayer and guiding us this way. Let's do that. God, I bring before You our family, and I ask You, Lord, for mom and dad and spouses and brothers and sisters and even grandpa and grandma and aunt, uncles and cousins or whoever is living with us, even friends that might be living with us. God, I pray that You help us, that we within our entire household right now, God, would be dedicated to You. There's a possibility that there are some that don't even serve You at all, but we pray for their salvation right now. Just because a family member in our own life is not serving You, God, that doesn't mean we need to not reach out to others. Lord, that means we do everything we can to reach this person within the family, but at the same time, we're always reaching out because we always want to be an example for You. Help us, God, within our family. If there's physical problems going on that's so obvious, that, God, whether health issues or broken relationships, or the argument over money all the time, God, forgive us. My friend, you stand in the gap for your family right now. You represent your family right now. God, we just want to be free. Help us, God, to be free. We're taking care of business right now with our family first. And God, I'm going to get a little closer. I'm thinking about me now. Help me, God. My thoughts, my ways, my anger, my frustration, my prejudice. Help me, God. Forgive me. Lord, I just want to be a vessel for You. I want to be an instrument for You. I want to be used by You, God, to bring many to the kingdom. But God, if I've got problems, I need to deal with that first. Help me so that I can go out and be the warrior You've called me to be. And God, I pray for our two churches represented right now. South Jordan community in Woodman Valley, God. I pray for our churches, because it's not just my household and myself, but God, we represent our churches today. And we pray, God, that you help us. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us if there's things within our body that we're doing not right. So, God, that we could be that lighthouse in a dark place, that we would be ones that people around us are knowing we're not being judged, but, God, they're saying we want what you have. That they would come to us, there's something different about you, and I want it. And then we would be willing to say, it's Jesus. Jesus changed my life. Jesus set me free, and Jesus keeps me free. But it starts with me first. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask all of you to stand right now, if you would. I'm going to ask our student worship team to come up here. And as they're preparing, South Jordan community, I'm going to ask you to keep our students in prayer.